Subject today is, well, let's hear a proper preacher for a moment.
Every time you flee from the presence of God, you're in trouble. Every time. Every time you miss your devotional life. Every time you miss your time of prayer. Every time you miss your time of reading the Word. As a Christian, you're in trouble. And every time you hear the gospel and do nothing about it, you're in trouble. You're in eternal trouble. Because living inside of your body is a spirit, and that spirit lives forever, either in heaven or hell. And you're taking a chance every time you hear the gospel and do nothing about it.
Wow. You could listen to him for 50 minutes, couldn't you? I'm going to start now by turning to Luke chapter 14, if you can find that in your Bible, because I want to speak really, well, I want to share with you my expectations of you as your pastor. If you count yourself as part of this church, I have a responsibility, and I'm sure you've got expectations of me, because you often tell me when I've done right, when I've done wrong, something's good, something's bad, but it's my turn now. Is that okay? My expectations. What do I expect from you as a church? I expect you to be a disciple if you profess to be a Christian. It's fair enough, isn't it? I expect you to become a mature disciple by fulfilling the stringent demands of discipleship. And I expect that if you are a mature Christian, that you will become a disciple maker, somebody who will lead others in the most holy faith. Question I want to ask is an answer this morning. What are the demands of discipleship? I'll answer that, or try to. But I also expect that you might ask yourself, am I a disciple? And thirdly, who am I making into a disciple? Who am I training up? Who am I equipping to grow deeper in the things of God? I want to talk about authentic discipleship, so we're not talking about saints in stained glass windows or stained glass windows with saints in them. Not talking about people with halos. We're talking about ordinary people like you and me. Ordinary people, fishermen who fail. Fishermen who let the Lord down. When they should be saying something good, they actually say what the devil was saying. No, you can't go to the cross, Jesus. Peter got into trouble for that, didn't he? Get thee behind me, Satan. And he carried on. He said, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. And he fled. He ran away at the most important moment of Jesus' life. He was asleep. And then he fled. Asleep when he was praying. Instead of praying, and then he fled. Authentic discipleship is what we're into this morning. And then later on, as I was reading Galatians this morning, how Paul had to reprimand Peter for going back to his old ways, for watering down the gospel, for bringing the old system back into line, as though we've got to circumcise the men, as though we've got to carry on with the old traditions that have been fulfilled in Christ. So read Galatians if you don't believe me. It's all there. So I'm not expecting a church to have a perfect disciple. Not even one. There was only one perfect Savior, and his name is Jesus. The cost of being a disciple. Many people today want God in their life, but they don't want their life in God. It's called consumer Christianity. Luke mentions two groups of people in chapter 7. I've not time to turn to it, but he talks about a crowd and the disciples. Which group are you in? Are you in the crowd? Or are you one of the disciples? Are you looking for an easy Christianity, one that doesn't cost anything? Or are you a disciple who is ready to give up everything and live the life of sacrifice that is required of those who are said to be followers of Christ? You see, you cannot earn your salvation. It's a free gift. So if you've not received it, receive it. Don't try and earn it, just take it. You see, there's only one kind of Christianity. God's kind. When God loves, he loves the world. When God gives, he gives his only son. Hence, he gives himself. When Jesus died, He died to purchase your salvation on that cruel and wicked cross. We see the naked splendor of the cross as we lift high the cross over our gathering this morning. Now, the response to such a wonderful Savior, the supreme being of the universe, should be that we come to Him and we bow before Him. We come to the cross. You see, my expectations this morning are just an echo of the expectations of Jesus, Pastor Jesus. To come after Christ, if we can go on the next slide, to come after Christ means separation. Claire, can you read verses 25 and 26, please? Wow. To come after Christ means separation from this world. If you really believe that Jesus died for you on the cross, you will want to follow Him. You will want to walk with Him. You will want to go His way, not your way. There's a singer called Frank something or other who said, "I did it my way." And on his deathbed, he was said to have said, "I'm desperate, will you help me?" See, don't do it your way. It sometimes happens in the Christian's or the disciple's life that Christ's work lies in one direction, as the ties of family and home lie in another. For the true child of God, there can be but one choice. Matthew 10, verse 34 says, "Perhaps you think I've come to spread peace and calm over the earth, but my coming will bring conflict and division, not peace." You see, you cannot live for God and live for yourself. You must be ready to give up all. That might even mean leaving your family. It means to hate your own life to follow Jesus. Secondly, to carry our cross, it means crucifixion. If the next slide, yes, we've got it up there. And Claire, are you going to read that again? I just want you to go back 2,000 years and think of Jesus speaking these words to a bunch of people, crowd of people, to his disciples and the crowd. And in those days, they were living under the domination of the Roman authorities, the wicked, cruel regime that was going on. And down their streets, friends, they wouldn't see lampposts like we see. As I was coming to church last evening, I just thought, wow, what if in Rochdale we saw crucifix, crosses, with people on them all down the street? Would we be the same, thinking the same way when we think of doing our own thing and living our own life? Because this is what Jesus was saying right into their lives. They knew what crucifixion was. They knew how cruel it was. Just because somebody had robbed you or somebody didn't agree with Rome, or somebody had murdered somebody else, they put them on a cross. And it was horrible. It was filthy. It was wicked. And yet Jesus says that you to carry your own cross means crucifixion. That's what to carry your cross means. And you might say, well, I'm not really talented. I've not much to give to Jesus. There was a guy in Papua New Guinea called One Tooth. I'm going to the dentist this week and I'm hoping I don't come back next week with one tooth. But he was called One Tooth. One Tooth was an old man living in a Papua village in New Guinea, and he became a Christian. Subsequently, he began to read, learn to read, and spent his time reading God's word to his fellow Papuans, you call them, Papuans, so whoever they were, and he came as an outpatient to the hospital, where he earned his living by cutting firewood. One day, One Tooth was told that he had an incurable eye disease and he would soon be blind. The next morning, the old woodcutter did not report for work, but sent a young replacement instead. One Tooth had left for an unknown destination. After inquiries, the missionary doctor discovered that One Tooth was living in a desolate spot, the tribe's burial ground, which was under a taboo. A youth was supplying him with food, and one day a young man led the doctor to the hiding place where he met the now blind One Tooth. "What are you doing here? Why did you not stay at the hospital?" asked the doctor. One Tooth replied, "Since you told me that I would be blind, I've been here alone, reading God's word and memorizing it as much as I could. The passages about the Savior's birth, his miracles, the resurrection. I have learned some of the Psalms and the Old Testament stories. I've been repeating them from memory to the boy coming back to the hospital," doctor explained the old woodcutter. "I won't be able to chop the wood, but I will be able to tell the outpatients about Jesus. When you told me that I would go blind, I thought my work of sharing the message of the Bible was finished. But God has shown me that my work is just beginning. This I must do for God." Friends, what excuses are we making in regard to our walk with the Lord, in regard to our discipleship following Jesus? You see, if you really believe that Jesus died for you on the cross, you will want to follow him, walk with him, because he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Wonderful. Everyone has his own cross or her own cross. Some one thing in which the will of God crosses with his will or her will. Jesus made the cross. Jesus made your cross and calls you to take it up and bear it after himself. Yet how many of us evade it, run from it, postpone it till next year? They think they can follow him apart from it, but it is impossible. We can only follow the crucified when we bear each his or her own cross. And to shrink from it shows that we are not disciples. Face up to the cross today, friends, and live for the things that are above, not the things below. It says the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. Thirdly, we see to count the cost is preparation. Chad 28:31.
"Suppose one of you wants to build a tower."
To 30, sorry. Wow. You know, we've got to count the cost. Have you done that? Or do you want an easy, peasy kind of Christianity that is different to what the Bible talks about? This is a very important story illustration, isn't it? And I can bring it up to date, or nearly up to date. 45 years ago, Carol and I got married, and we began to live in a cottage in Hadfield, and just a door or two away was a big dream house. But we found out the history of that dream house. You know the kind of dream house you see on the back of your Cocoa Pops, or you see the adverts, TV, win $1 million or $3 million dream house. You just have to put £1,000 in and make a wish. Next door, then, we saw this house being built initially. And it was amazing. I thought, everything to the guy's specification. And halfway through the building, before he actually put the windows in, he lost his money. He went bankrupt. He didn't have enough money to finish the project. The man's dream was in tatters, and he went into he underestimated the cost, and he did not count the cost. He ruined his life, ruined his family's life. Why? Because he didn't think he could pay for it. You may have made a decision. You may have said the sinner's prayer. You may have read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and believe every part of it. There's nothing you disagree with. But are you prepared for a life of sacrifice? Are you prepared for the suffering that often follows a life of sacrifice? A life of denial. Are you prepared for a life of denial? A life of obedience? I tell you, I'm preaching to myself this morning. Because sometimes we get so wrapped up with the things of this world or even with the things of church that we can miss the real reason we're on the planet. We must not underestimate the cost involved in following Jesus. Are you prepared for a life of sacrifice? You see, it is the most glorious and joyful life. I've got to tell you that. It's the most peaceful life. We talked about a river, the river of God. The river of peace flows into God's people's lives. And when we hit an obstacle or a disaster in our lives, perhaps a death of a loved one, oh, what peace we receive. Never mind, often forfeit. Because when we trust and obey, that peace follows and flows into our lives. Have you listened to the expectations of your pastor this morning? It's a glorious life. It's the most wonderful life. Have you listened to the expectations of Pastor Jesus? Because he's the one who's telling you all this. Diane. Wow. Jesus loves to get the point over, doesn't he, about counting the cost of discipleship. And if you're here for the first time today, we give you an extra special welcome. It's not always this challenging, but sometimes from time to time we have to bring this message. When we were in Hadfield, we had a fantastic football team. We played Failsworth at football. I love football. And the first game was pretty dreadful. We lost 9-2. So we thought, we've got to do something about this. So we called for Pep, but he wasn't available. But we decided to train, get excited, get fit. We got somebody to coach us. And I tell you what, Failsworth were not prepared for Hadfield. We prepared so much, sweated so much. They were totally disorganized and certainly had underestimated the enemy. And we slaughtered them, 13. Hadfield, 13. Failsworth, 5. Doesn't really matter, does it, that? It's nice, nice proud memory in my head, but it doesn't matter. It's not very serious. But making a rash decision about involvement in anything, it's a bit crazy. But if you don't make this decision today to follow Jesus, you might never have another opportunity. This might be your last opportunity to become a disciple of the Master, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thomas Huxley said it doesn't take much of a man to be a Christian, but it takes all there is of him. Do you get it? We need to give everything. Fourth thought here is complete commitment means renunciation. That is a rejection of something, rejection of our old life. Steve.
In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples.
Are you getting the message this morning? Do you understand my expectations today? There's some things you've got to put behind you and something you have got to put before you. We sang it last week, didn't we? The cross before me, the world behind me. I have decided to follow Jesus. A famous preacher was asked to speak at a West End club, you know, men's club that they had in those days. Well, they still have. And he was the guest speaker, the after dinner speaker. And he said, folks, the entrance fee, because you had to pay to go into those clubs, the entrance fee into the kingdom of God is nothing, but the annual subscription is everything. Let us remember, friends, where we are this morning. The cross before me, the world behind me. all we have and all we are must be gladly surrendered to him. Look at the cross. Look at where Jesus died, what he did for you, what he did for me. Are we just living our own life, or are we living the life that pleases and honours the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? A friend of mine, Robert Kiff, he was a professor at UMist University, and very clever guy. He one of the doctorates he was teaching was the water, which is the best water supply in the whole of England. And you know where it is? Blackstone Edge. Right near us. So near, but it goes to Oldham. How ridiculous is that? Sorry? We don't get it. They get it. So if you're living in Shore, you're really blessed. You get the best water in the land. That was about 20 years ago. It's most probably been polluted by now, but sorry. But this guy, he gave his life to the Lord. And just before he became a pastor, the Lord said, I want you to give me something. What do you want me to give, Lord? He said, he was a classical guitarist. He said, I want you to give your guitar to me. And for that moment, for years, he didn't play his guitar. But in that time, he was called to the ministry and served hundreds of people for the glory of God. Sometimes there's something that we have to give up so that God can use us in a way that we're hindering him at the moment. Let's go back to what we heard before about this word hate. Hate our family, hate our brother, our sister, our mum, our dad, our children, our wife, our husband. What did Jesus mean? Hate you, I'm going to get you and shoot you. Because Jesus said hate is to murder somewhere else, doesn't he? But the word here in the original language, the Aramaic or the Hebraic definition of this word hate actually is a metaphor. And it's a metaphor for putting Jesus above every other relationship. Jesus is the King of love. He's not saying hate in the way that we think, but he's saying put aside every other relationship into second place. So I must love Jesus before I love Carol. I must love Jesus before I love my children. I must love Jesus before I love Hebron. Are you listening? These are my expectations, says Jesus. I want to submit to that. I want to follow that way. Could include your possessions. Could include a relationship that you're in. It could include an ambition that is a wrong ambition. Did you give it to God? Did you pray about it? Did you seek God concerning those matters? Friends, we must live for Christ no matter what. Whatever comes or goes in life, will you abandon the rest of your life to Jesus? Otherwise, you have to abandon the title disciple because you are not a disciple. Wow. Does anybody remember this guy? Can we have the slide on, please? Anybody? Robin Cousins, well done. Yeah, he won three world championships. He won an Olympic gold medal for Great Britain. So we were proud of him, weren't we? But you know, there came a time in Robin's life at the age of 16, young people, are you listening? At the age of 16, he had to make the most important decision of his life, whether he would give himself completely to his sport, to ice skating, or not. But it paid off as he became world champion, as he became an Olympic champion. But he had to count the cost. He had to get up 7 a.m. in the morning and train and be equipped and shown how to do things straight through to 8 p.m. Let's go to bed at 10 o'clock, young people, and get up early because he was committed to his sport and he won a gold. Are you willing to fulfill the expectations of your pastor and give your whole life to continue in God's word? Some of you have been neglecting God's word. That's not discipleship. Reading God's word every day is discipleship. And we can teach you ways. If you want to be discipled, I implore you, come and see me. Because we're going to be looking at discipleship in the next few weeks like we've never looked at it before. And God will help you. Jesus said these words in John 8:31. You can go to the next slide. Let's read it together. Can you?
When Jesus said, if you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know
It's amazing, isn't it? Jesus told us to love one another. John 13:35. When you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you are my true followers. Do people know that you are his true follower? Do they know? Because they should do. And if you do, you'll begin to bear fruit. Your life will be so full of good stuff for this community. For this community first, but then it will spill over. The grapes will go over the wall. People will be able to pick them and receive from God what he's put in you. Isn't that amazing? Because you're his representative. In John 15 verse 8, it says, when your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. At the end of her speech, Julie said, it's all to the glory of God. Your life, my life, our church here. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about the crucified one. It's about the Christ who came and gave it all for you and me. Will you give it all to him? Give it back to him today. Surrender your life completely and you will never, ever be the same again. To close, this is the cost of discipleship, but it's the only life worth living. It is an everlasting life. It's an abundant life. It's life to the full. The heavenly life to come, friends. You can't even imagine what we're going to. We can't imagine what Angela is enjoying at this moment. We can't imagine what Aqua is enjoying and others who have gone on before us. I can't wait to meet up with them. Hallelujah. I'll have to. And I want to in some ways because I've got a job to do. But I'm ready to go as well. Are you? Are you ready to meet your maker? And so when you consider the love of God, how he so loved you and poured his love upon you, there's no choice, is there? Paul said, I'm compelled. I've got to preach the gospel. I've got to make disciples. Your whole being, renounce the old and put on the new. And it's a daily thing. Paul says, I die daily. Don't think you're going to get it all together today. We saw how Peter failed. If you're going to be authentic, let's be honest, let's be transparent and realize that we've not arrived yet, but we are arriving and we should have improved. We should have moved on into a better place in God. For many, it means getting saved, being equipped, being baptized in water. Have you been baptized in water? Because if not, why not? It means some training, somebody to come alongside you and equip you and help you. For others, it means being trained. Have you been trained? Have you trained others? Who are you training now? Because if you're not training anybody, my third point, my third expectation, I'm not going to preach on now, but we've got a... Did you manage to put that last? Over this month, there's a gathering for prayer, and then there's this Arise, God's Mighty Army. Out of the blue, I was wondering, how can I equip the people? How can I help them to be disciples? I need a tool. Because we were told by Andrew Murray earlier on this year that we should do this. Last week, we were told by Grayson Jones that this is what we need to do. Here, we have a tool. Will you be willing to give sacrifice a Friday evening for a couple of weeks and a Saturday for a couple of weeks, just 6 hours, that's all, and get connected. Sign up. If you don't know how to do it, see Julie or me. But honestly, I'm reading this book. I am so challenged. That's why I'm preaching what I'm preaching today. I've forgotten some things, and I've remembered some things. And now my expectations are greater than they've ever been before for you as a church. We've got to rise to the new level that God is taking us to. Are you with me, church? Amen. Let's go for it. Let's stand and we'll sing our final song as the guys come together. If you need prayer, if you want to rededicate your life, come to that event or come forward today if you can't make that event. Some of you will be tied up and won't be able to make it. But if you can, it'd be lovely to see you and we will glorify God together. Thank you.